Welcome to Paint Ed. Hey, I'm Chris Schenk, the education guy at the Painting Contractors Association, providing painting contractors with the training and connections they need to grow their business. To find out more, visit pdca.org. If you've ever found yourself wondering about how to best onboard new employees, know that you're not alone. I literally hear about this concern all the time. Some have solutions while others are still trying to work towards solutions, and sometimes it just helps to put our heads together and hear how others are working through it. On this episode of Paint Ed, we hear from a few painting contractors and a training systems guru about how they see the topic of hiring and onboarding. Maybe you can learn a thing or two, or maybe you can add to the conversation. Don't miss the webinars about training systems for new employees and supervisors coming up on September 27th and October 4th at 2 p.m. Central. Go to pdca.org to find more, and now I want to introduce you to our participants in this podcast, and then just roll with it. We have Nick LaGrasso of SNL Painting in St. Louis, Nick Slavic of Nick Slavic Painting and Restoration in New Prague, Minnesota, Christian Militello of Militello Painting in Philly, and Michael Smith of Teach Construction in Denver. I asked them about onboarding systems for new employees, and they answered. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Paint Ed.
It's great to be here, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me be part of it.
Okay, guys, this is going to be fun because, first of all, we're on a great topic. We're talking about creating onboarding and training systems for your business. And everybody's talking about this and everybody's asking about this. For some reason, I'm hearing it more and more. And maybe you guys know if it's not like a new theme, it's something maybe that's just been recurring. But I'm hearing it from my position a lot more. And so we just had to answer to it and bring people together that have either created training systems or are creating systems or see the need for them. So everybody's in a different place. And so we've got some really neat people contributing to this conversation. And what I really want to do is just give you guys the opportunity to, first of all, just jump in and say, when we're talking about hiring and onboarding people, in particular painters, what is it that we are looking for here? What are we trying to capture with our training systems? So let me ask you just really specifically, give me, like, if you don't mind, everybody just saying, like, a short few word answer. Who or what makes a good painter?
Nick Slavic here. I'll take this one first. First of all, I want him to be a good painter. And second of all, I'd like him to be a decent human being. But if you can only have one, I would definitely take good people over good painters.
This is Christian here. I think being very coachable is a big asset.
This is Michael. And we're working with a lot of our partners. The biggest thing they're looking for right now is commitment. They're focusing on the rest I can teach you. But if you're not committed, I don't really have much to do with you.
Nick LaGrasso here. I'm more switching to the other Nick's philosophy of good people. You know, you can get great painters with horrible attitudes and horrible bad habits. So, yeah, I'm looking for good people.
You know, I sent this to Nick Slavic just recently because it's the whole decent human being thing. And I know I'm hearing that phrase come up more and more.
It's going to be like a registered trademark.
Exactly. There's a little post that came along on Instagram. It was 10 things that require zero talent. Being on time, making an effort, being high energy, having a positive attitude, being passionate, using good body language, being coachable, there it is, doing a little extra, being prepared, having a strong work ethic. And so it's kind of like, wow, those are great traits that if you could hire somebody with all those traits, you found gold, but it's hard to find. But those are kind of good human being traits, aren't they? Okay, so let me just move on. I know we want to comment more, but we're going to get to a lot of the more in-depth stuff on the webinar, but let me just keep going and asking questions. Where do you find good people? Let's do another short answer round here. Real short answer. Where do you find good people?
Where do you find people or where do you find good
people? Where do you find good people?
Well, I'll just tell you the avenues. This is Nick LaGrasso. The avenues we use are Craigslist, Facebook, and networking with our other painters.
I'm Nick Slavic here. If I have to go find strangers that aren't word of mouth or friends of my current apprentices, I'll go Indeed and I'll go Facebook Jobs.
Yeah, this is Christian here, and I found a really successful guy at Chick-fil-A, believe it
Chick-fil-A.
Or not.
Chick-fil-A. I never thought Chick-fil-A would come up in this.
No, that's actually genius because
they come from behind the counter to give you more soda for minimum wage.
You know, there was a kid at In-N-Out Burger when we were in San Diego who I would have stole if I could have. If he would have moved, I would have took him.
I remember that.
Yeah, he was awesome.
So keeping your eyes open no matter where you go.
That's right.
Poaching from any business, not just a painting business.
That's actually In-N-Out Burger's model, is they poach. They give their employees cards and poach.
Wow.
From anywhere.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
I gave the guy at my car wash. my business card because he's always so polite to me every single time I drive through the car wash.
See, that's what it's about, man.
Brilliant.
So, yeah.
So let's take, and this could be a little bit of a longer answer. It doesn't, not too long, but what are contractors' greatest concerns when it comes to onboarding new employees?
I think it would be the time invested. So even though that encompasses a lot of things, it's losing that time. If they leave, if they don't work out, all this stuff costs money, background checks, drug testing, time to train, time to onboard. So really, I guess the biggest concern is time.
LaGrasso again, but I think it's like, how soon till this guy's useful, and what are my other painters and clients going to think about this guy? Is he going to mesh?
Yep.
Yep what?
Yep
what?
That's what I have to contribute. Yep.
You can't just yep that.
That was a I concur.
No, Nick said it perfectly, and Christian mentioned it too. It's like, how quickly can I make you a non-embarrassing, viable painter?
Perfect, Slavic. Very succinct.
I'm trying not to spit up my soda here. That's right. That I shouldn't be drinking on this podcast.
You're going to be burping on a podcast.
No, I'm not. Yeah. But that was great. Non-embarrassing. How can I make this into a non-embarrassing employee?
Yes.
That is awesome.
Non-embarrassing viable.
That's quotable. Quotable quotes.
Awesome, sir.
Possibly autonomous as well. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Does anybody worry about losing them?
That's what my whole life is dedicated to right now, is keeping everybody I have.
Yeah, no.
Just within the first month, you worry about losing them.
No, I've never had the concern in the first month. They're so wide-eyed that, you know, either they don't show up on their first day or they stick with me for a year or two. And then beyond that, I have to figure out how to keep.
Yeah, once they show up, we'll have them for a little while. It's what we call the honeymoon period, you know, when they're on time for a while.
On time for a while.
Yeah. The first 30, 60, 90 days, whatever it is.
Yeah, the first review. You That's were right. on time for a while. That was nice.
Uh-huh. That's good work.
Okay, so briefly, what systems do you have in place for onboarding? Like, just real briefly, describe what you guys do.
For us, we're still paper. I'd love to go online and have a checklist system, but, you know, we have the interview. Well, the interview is through Indeed. The application's online and through Indeed. Then we do an in-person interview. And if they're hired, they fill out their tax forms, emergency contact information, and that gets handed to Angelina in the office, and all that stuff gets entered and then put towards payroll and direct deposit forms. And it's a process that we should, definitely simplify, but we're still old school with paper and pencils and paper.
I basically, the technical side of onboarding, I just tell them, if you want to get paid, you got to do these three things. You got to get your paperwork to my accountant. You got to get on TimeStation, our app to keep track of time, and you got to, you know, be consistent with TimeStation. After that, we'll teach you how to paint. I just kind of put it on them. Like, you know, if first payroll comes around and you haven't got your paperwork to my accountant or done TimeStation, that's you.
Well, let's take that a little bit further. And then what are the next steps in you starting, whether it's their, you know, full training, apprenticeship, what do you do? What's a quick outline of that?
They show up the first day, I put them with a craftsman, and whatever that craftsman's doing that day, they do it with them.
Immediately hands-on, okay.
I wish it was a little more like magic videos or magic handbooks or things like that, but it's like, you know, you can talk all you want, but nothing's going to happen until you get them in the field and start painting.
Yeah, we have a few guys that we wouldn't put a brand new guy with, and then we have a few that we would, you know, that are nice, a little more patient, but still excellent at their craft. I mean, I have a few great painters that there's no way I would put a brand new guy in front of. Hmm. So you got to pick and choose which your crew leaders or staff or whatever you want to call them in your company, you know, at least for us, that we put them with, and guys that have good habits. They use, you know, our clocking system's VeriClock. We have to use that, you know, and they just have a good process when they start a job, end a job, how they stroke the brush or clean a sprayer, any of that stuff. Hmm. So you put them with the guys that do things right.
Anybody else, any comments on that?
This is Michael. One of the things that we've been doing a lot with some of our employer partners is really trying to eliminate the time of a new person exploring the career while on the clock. So at least in the Denver area, we've got a lot of centralized training programs where someone can come in and say, I might want to do drywall, might want to do painting, might want to do framing, give them an opportunity to experience a day in a life hands-on in that craft. So at least we're not having them on board with one of our partners and 2 days later say, yeah, I don't think I really like painting.
Okay, so real quickly, this is a short answer, and then the next one I want to kind of end everything with some tips. But what is a current challenge you are facing? I know you kind of mentioned them a little bit already, but the current challenge you're facing in onboarding and some of the initial training of getting new employees to stick and teaching them trade skills.
Well, one of the biggest problems we're facing, this is Christian Militello, is just a shortage of people that even want to apply for a position in the trades, or, you know, even finding good human beings, as Slavik says. You know, it seems to be just a shortage of that. And also, you know, goes back to my answer from before, you know, that I have a shortage of time. You know, the biggest thing that I worry about is time. And when you bring on new people and lots of them, it takes away a lot of time.
Okay. Anybody else?
I agree, Christian. I also think that you'll see like the Mike Rose of the world telling people it's okay to be tradesmen again. And I think as more you get that message out there to these young kids that it's okay to not go to college and go and work with your hands for a living, I'm hoping we get a bigger labor pool. But for right now, I'm trying to say, hey, you don't need to know anything about painting. I'll start you at 12 or 13 bucks to come suck up my clock for a couple of weeks and learn how to do this. And to get guys to call and actually show up. I've got one. He was 34, you know, so he's not a kid. And he started this week, and so far, I mean, he's had a brush in his hand for 4 days. So we'll see how that goes. Hmm. He shows up, which is great.
Right.
It's a good start.
Listen to all of us. You can tell we're in a economy that is absolutely full employment. We're
absolutely basically
doing whatever any of these people want, begging them to even show up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy. You know, in the past, you know, I've heard conversations be focused around, oh, we need more leads. We need more leads. And I haven't heard one contractor complain about that, but we are absolutely at full employment. So, you know, it's probably good perspective to know that this isn't how it's always going to be, hopefully.
No, we've been through too many cycles of economic ups and downs to know that's the case.
Well, let me ask you guys. Okay. So thinking of the challenges of, first of all, getting people in the door, finding people, onboarding them and starting to train them, what's some of the best tips that you've come across for systematizing that process and not just making it, you know, it being accidental, but what would you say some of the best ways to do that?
It's not a checklist of tasks they have to do, but I like to set goals for them. And the main goal, you know, they're all centered around the five core values of our company. But the main goal is constant improvement. And I eliminate a lot of the things that they have to worry about, like doing something fast or learning the technical side of the paint. But I just tell them, just start now and improve, and we'll teach you along the way. So that's, and our jobs vary so much. There's not a checklist of, I mean, we do keep a matrix of who trained on what, but it's sort of whatever they're doing right now, they do. And as long as we just teach them how to constantly improve, that seems to be the best way to do it.
Yeah, you start breaking up a little bit there.
Nick, I think that's it's the other Nick. I think that's great. And based on our buddy Art at the forum and expo, where he was telling us that millennials like to have a clear set path for improvement. I was actually talking to Art over the weekend, and I said, I got to get this track down of first 30 days, I want you here. Second 30 days, I want you here. By 120 days, I want you here. And then, you know, after 24 months, you should be making this, doing this, as long as you follow this track. And he said, if you can get that down, he's like, you will be able to attract and retain more millennials.
Do you have that written out at least?
No, man, those are pipe dreams. So if any of you guys on this podcast with me get that done, feel free to email it to me. I won't charge you for the idea.
Okay.
I have that for you, Nick.
God bless you, Christian.
I sent it to Slavik, I think, maybe. I'm not sure.
I'm going to send you a $5 Starbucks gift card because I love you that much.
Yeah. Just buy me around at the next convention.
You got it. I'll buy you. I'll pay for it all weekend.
So, Christian, briefly, how does that work?
So it's only in early phases right now, and I created kind of a bubble tree, and it goes from Painter 1 through Painter 3. And the reason why we did three levels is because I don't want there just to be a painter or apprentice, whatever you want to call them, and then a foreman and a crew leader and a salesman. So I have like five or six steps, and within each step is maybe three steps. So that they, and with each Painter 1, Painter 2, Painter 3, the tasks that are involved with those become more and a little more in depth. And then below that bubble, so it says Painter 1 is a bubble 1, bubble 2 will be the task they require, and bubble 3 will be the pay scale for Painter 1. Then it says Painter 2. And I actually showed that to a new hire who is a millennial and did previously work at Chick-fil-A. and he loved it. We had our 30-day review today. Said he loves coming to work. So, you know, that's it's not full-blown, you know, phase yet. But
that's fantastic, Christian. Imagine if you had a job yourself when you were 17 to 21 or 25 or whatever, and they show you this roadmap. It's like, all you got to do are these things, and I'll pay you this much.
Right.
It'd be awesome.
And at the end, there was sales or whatever the position was, and it said 100K next to it, and I'm 20 years old. I might only have – I may never have been a painter by now.
Right. Yeah, you'd be selling selling work for somebody else.
Yeah. I'd be a lifeguard like I was before if I could have made 100K.
Nick, let me ask you real quick about your core values. You said you had 5 core values?
Oh, you're talking to me?
Slavic.
Talking to me.
Yeah, you said you had – is it 5 core values you said?
5 core values, yeah.
What are they? Do you mind sharing?
Gain and maintain trust for both with the other apprentices and with the clients. Continuous improvement. Quality always wins. Discipline equals freedom. And produce.
Nice. Okay, let me ask Michael, what would you say as you develop systems all the time? I mean, like, you are a true systems person. You do it for a lot of people, a lot of different trades, really, coming from different perspectives, whether it's a student or adult learner. What are some of the keys, do you think, in creating some training systems?
Well, I was really excited to hear what Christian and a couple of guys were talking about within the, I think, Christian, you call it a bubble tree, but really the roadmap to success. And that's what registered apprentice programs have had for a long time. And I'm not trying to espouse that registered training programs are the only way. But the reason I think in some cases they've been successful is because of that defined process that says, if you learn this and have demonstrated competency in the field, here's your next pay jump. And we're right. The next generation really, really wants that. There's want to know exactly where they could be in a year and a half and how much work is going to put into it. So I think by expanding on that, but also earlier on in the conversation was a phrase used of a magic video or a magic training tool. I'm not a fool, and I don't think that training can be done online, but there could be some of the exercises of how are you going to hold that brush? What are the basics of the safety for cleaning a sprayer and what type of environment does that need to be done on to avoid a catastrophic environment? But that stuff can be wrapped around that specific roadmap to success and be shared really with everybody in the industry. And I think it's a great thing that could come right out of PDCA.
Yeah, of course, that's a great setup. We're working with Michael because Michael is getting a lot of neat training systems out there to students and adult learners. But we are working together with Teach to get some of the PDCA trade best practices, you know, in people's hands. So students can learn and companies can ultimately use them too, to help introduce new employees to the industry, teach them industry language. What can they expect from like being on work sites to what kind of skills are they going to develop? And what would a future look like in this industry? I could go from painter to crew leader to foreman safety officer, coatings inspector, estimator, production manager, operations manager, owner of a business. We want people to know that there's a future. So I was actually talking with another business owner yesterday, and he was talking about the need for training systems, and he's working really hard to develop them. But he wants something that's standardized, which is what everybody like. I want to know that I'm doing it the right way, or I want to know that it's got a statistical probability of succeeding. So I want something that a lot of businesses use, and there's not a lot of great resources out there for that in the painting industry. So that's what we're trying to do to develop that. But I said, it's not just about teaching people how to prime or spackle or sand or whatever. Some of that, for sure, some of those trade best practices, but helping new employees see their future in this industry, helping them see what a pathway for them might look like and say, you belong here. This is a good place to be. And we hit that message again and again and again. Here's the different, here's how the scenery changes from day to day. Here's how you could use, you know, you could find what you're passionate about. You know, here's how you can contribute to production and the success of your company and things like that. So that's really what we're trying to work on is trade skills mixed with a little bit of industry knowledge and expectation and anticipation for their career. So yeah, anyway, that's a great setup, obviously, as we're working on that sort of thing. We're excited to hear more from you guys on the webinar as we kind of go in depth into things like your values and your process and your challenges and your tips. So thanks, guys, for being on this episode of Paint Ed.
You're welcome, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks for including us.
Paint Ed podcasts are a product of the Painting Contractors Association. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PDCA and getting access to advanced resources for your business, visit pdca.org. We'll see you next time.
Just funny to look at, I guess. Anyway.